Welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week, Pastor David kicks off a six-week sermon series on the life and teachings of Paul. This week, we look at Paul's conversion and how God finds us where we are, and it's usually not in a very perfect place. Let's listen.
Well, good morning. As you can tell, we are starting something new this week. We are going to start a six-week series on the life and the teachings of the Apostle Paul. And so we've created a set over here to help immerse ourselves into this new six-week series. You'll see the scrolls and the quill here, and that's to represent that Paul wrote about half of the New Testament. About half of the letters and books in the New Testament were penned by Paul. You'll see also we have a map up here, and I know you probably can't see the specifics of it from where you're sitting, but I invite you over these next 6 weeks to at some point come up here and get a close look at this map, because this shows some of Paul's missionary journeys, some of the churches that Paul started, and how that was such a big part of what Paul did for Christianity. And so I'm excited for this series, and I'm excited to dive in deeper to Paul. And as we begin, I have to think, can you think of a more influential person outside of Jesus to really who helped form our Christian roots than Paul? Paul was incredibly important to what we know of the Christian faith and how all that got started. And so we're going to dive in deeper about how that all came about. But before we talk about Paul, we need to begin by talking about jumping alligators. Now, I know, stay with me, it'll connect, but remember, I grew up in Washington State, near Seattle, so from preschool to college, that was the state I lived in. Then I graduated, moved down to Florida, and spent 10 years in Florida before then moving up here, and Florida is a very different part of the country than the Pacific Northwest, which was kind of fun. I got to have a lot of firsts down there in Florida. For example, one of the firsts was that my second summer there, I was leading a mission trip to New Orleans. Now, I had never been to New Orleans before. I mean, I'd never been to Louisiana before. And so we brought those high schoolers up there, and we served for a week doing disaster recovery from Hurricane Katrina. But then, towards the end of the week, we had our fun day. You know, to entice the youth to come and see some of the culture of Louisiana. And so I thought, for the fun day, why don't we go take a swamp tour? That would be really fun. I've not really seen, you don't have swamps up in Washington. And so we went on a swamp tour with the Cajun Swamp Encounters, and very quickly I realized, well, that's not really a place I'm very comfortable. That's not really an environment that I fit in very well. I mean, you begin by getting on these kind of rickety boats, and then the boats take you in the middle of a swamp, and then this person in a thick Cajun accent says, all right, who wants to see some alligators? Now, up to that point in my life, I had never really seen alligators before, so I raised my hand. I was like, yeah, I do. I want to see some alligators. And no joke, he takes out a bag of marshmallows and begins just tossing the marshmallows all around the swamp. And then these alligators, which I guess were there the whole time, emerged from the swamp and started going to eat these marshmallows. And I thought to myself, I don't think that's legal in Florida. I don't think you can feed alligators, but maybe anything goes in the swamps of Louisiana. I don't know. And so in this moment, we're surrounded by alligators, and I'm thinking, yeah, I really don't quite fit here. And then he asked another question, a question that I will never forget. He says, who wants to see an alligator jump? Now, I might be from Seattle, but I was pretty sure that alligators couldn't jump. And yet, I still raised my hand. I was like, sure, all right, I do. I want to see an alligator jump. That sounds great. And so he grabs a stick. He puts a hot dog on the stick. He leans over as much as he could over that boat. And I can't just describe it for you. I've got to show you a picture. That's an alligator jumping out of the water to eat this hot dog that's on the end of a stick. I'd never seen something like that in my life, and I knew in that moment for sure, yeah, I do not belong here. Get me back to Florida, get me up to Seattle, anywhere but the swamps of Louisiana. And in fact, if this picture doesn't do justice, I took a little video of a smaller alligator jumping. Let's show that video.
That's cool. I got a good picture of that.
Getting a little too close.
Okay.
That's okay.
Just panic.
Oh, in the air. Let me see.
Wow, that's awesome.
Nailed it.
That's the
Yeah, that place was not for me. No. I wonder if you've had that sort of experience before, where you found yourself in an environment or in a group where it kind of hits you, oh, this is not really for me. I don't feel completely comfortable here. Maybe you started a new job, or you moved, or you're part of a new school, something like that that gave you that feeling. Well, and actually, how this all relates is that I've heard people say the same thing about becoming a Christian. Becoming Christian sometimes for the first time, and they say, you know what, I'm glad I'm a Christian, but sometimes I just don't feel like I really fit in here. Sometimes I don't think I'm Christian material. Or I've heard someone say, you know, I'm too much of a mess to be a serious Christian. And there's certain obstacles that hold people back from really embracing fully the Christian faith. One obstacle that I've heard of is if someone is maybe newer to the faith, and yet they're around people that have much more experience in the faith, maybe a whole lifelong of learning, and they feel insecure about their Bible knowledge. And they say, these people seem to know so much more than me. Will I ever really catch up? And they feel, do I truly fit? Other people I know have looked around and said, Christians seem perfect. And they look at themselves and go, and I know I'm not. And so is nobody struggling with the same things that I'm struggling with? Do I fit in with this Christian group? Or I've heard from others who say, you know, I can't really even point to a moment where I became Christian, and they kind of question themselves to say, well, do I need that? Do I need a moment where I can say, yeah, that's when it all happened? There can be all sorts of obstacles that hold us back from really fully embracing Christianity and that make us wonder that nagging question, do I really fit? Well, if you've ever wondered that before, or if you came into church today wondering that, I want you to hear me clearly that, yes, you do fit. You do belong here. And there's a reason I know that and can say that so confidently. It's because of Paul. It's because of Paul. Because if anybody didn't fit in the history of Christianity, if anybody really didn't fit in with being a Christian, it would have been Paul. I mean, Paul, we know, wrote about half of the New Testament, but do you know who he was before he became a Christian? I mean, Paul would go door to door looking for Christians because at that point it was illegal to be a Christian. And when finding them, he would take them physically out of their house and bring them to the courts or authorities for them to be punished, sometimes to the point of death. That's who Paul was. In fact, the very first person who was ever killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ is Stephen. It's recorded in Acts chapter 6 and 7. And Stephen, we're told, was surrounded by a crowd, and that crowd was throwing stones and rocks at him until he died. And who was watching this all take place but not intervening? It was Paul. In fact, you can see that in Acts chapter 7 when it says this. They, meaning the crowd, all rushed at Stephen, grabbed him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And so Paul is seeing all this take place, and before they went and threw a rock at Stephen, they took off their coat and left it with Paul, and he does not intervene. Now, this is probably a good time to remind everybody that Saul and Paul are the same person. So two different names, but in the New Testament, same person. And the reason for that is Saul was the Hebrew name, and Paul was the Greek name. So depending on who he was with and the audience he was speaking to, he would use one name or the other. But Saul and Paul, same person that we are studying. I refer to him most often as Paul. But this man, Paul, who watched the stoning of Stephen, went on to become the person who then wrote half the New Testament. So the obvious question is how? Like, how did that happen? What happened in Paul's life to change him so dramatically? And that's what we're going to study this morning in our scripture. So let me give you a little context. I want us to fast forward for a second. And so fast forward towards later on in Paul's life, and Paul is a Christian at this point, and Paul is going around to different cities on these missionary journeys starting churches. But groups of people who like Paul used to be, were not happy with Paul. And so Paul is in a synagogue teaching, and they find him. And a crowd drags him out, much like they did with Stephen. They drag him out, and then they begin beating him, hopefully until death. Well, the Roman soldiers got involved at that time, because what was the point of Rome? They were to keep the peace. And so they see this whole crowd gathering, beating up someone. They get involved. They take Paul. They pull him out of the crowd. They arrest him. They put chains on him. And then kind of ask, what have you done to make this crowd so mad at you? Paul, in that moment, asks them, he says, let me speak to the crowd. Let me share with them my story. And so the Roman soldiers say, okay. And so in chains, he walks up these stairs to the top of the barracks where he's at. The whole crowd is outside in the street, and Paul delivers a doozy of a speech. And it's in that speech that he tells the crowd how his life came to change so dramatically. This story is all captured in Acts chapter 22. It begins in this way. Paul, speaking to the crowd, says, brothers and fathers, listen to the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard him addressing them in Hebrew, they became even more quiet. And then he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, educated strictly according to our ancestral law, being zealous for God, just as all of you are today. And I persecuted this way. Now, the way was the term for Christians during that time period. The actual term Christian didn't develop until a little bit later, and so what we would call Christians were just known as followers of the way. Now, think about, where did they get that term? Well, Jesus called himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so early Christians were followers of the way, and Paul is saying, and I persecuted them. I persecuted this way up to the point of death by binding both men and women and putting them in prison. And as the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me, and from them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus. And there I went in order to bind those who were there and to bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. So this is who Paul was, a persecutor of the way, a strict, zealous, by-the-book Jew, a person who took pleasure in dragging Christians out of their homes, both men and women, and presenting them for punishment. This is who Paul was. And so he is headed on that old dusty road of Damascus to go find more Christians to persecute. And then something incredible happened in verse 6. It says, while I was on my way and approaching Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. Can you picture what that would have looked like? For Paul to be walking on that road, and then all of a sudden, a great light from heaven shining right atop him. Well, his reaction is, he says, I fell to the ground, and then I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And then he said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but they did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And so I asked, what am I to do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go to Damascus. And this part is really important. He says, and there you will be told everything that has been assigned to you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took my hand and led me to Damascus. So walking along that dusty road of Damascus, Paul's life changed forever because Paul had an encounter with Jesus. Now I want you to notice two things that happened in that encounter with Jesus. The first is that Paul did not go looking for Jesus. No, Paul did not go looking for God. Paul thought that he had God all figured out. He went to Damascus to go persecute more Christians. But in that moment, God found him. God found him and changed his life that day. You know, sometimes we think that we initiate faith. Or maybe you've heard people say, they talk about how they came to find God in some way. But the truth is that we don't find God. God finds us. God initiates the faith that we have, sometimes unexpectedly and oftentimes dramatically. And that is what happens in Paul's life. He thinks the day is going to be an ordinary day. And he's just going on to Damascus. And then God gets involved and shows up in a big way. And so Paul does not expect to find Jesus. And then the second thing I want you to realize is that Paul did not leave this encounter with God with all of his questions about God and faith answered. No, Paul leaves this encounter with God blind, scared, and confused as he's led by his companions to the city of Damascus. And I wonder if you can relate to that. I wonder if you've had an experience with God that you can point to, that you know was real for you, and yet you left with more questions than answers. Sometimes we think that when we experience God, then in those moments we will get all the knowledge we need about faith and life. And yet Paul's story reminds us that no, faith is a journey. It's a lifelong journey that we're on. And this, these encounters with God, are steps and portions of that journey that we are on just like Paul was. And so, Paul goes to Damascus. And in verse 12, we're told that this happens next. In his own words, he says, "And a certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law, and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, he came to me. And standing beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour, I regained my sight and saw him. And then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one,'" meaning Jesus, "'and to hear his voice. For you will be his witness to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away, calling on his name.'" You see, Paul thought he was going to Damascus just to go find more Christians to persecute. But instead, God found Paul that day, and God gave Paul a whole new purpose to his life. Paul was going to witness to all that he had seen and heard and learned about Jesus, which is exactly what he does, doesn't he? He goes and witnesses. He writes half the New Testament. We are still learning about Jesus because of the ways that Paul witnessed about Jesus. But what I want us to realize is that Paul's transformation did not happen overnight. Sometimes we think that when God comes into our lives, then everything is going to change right away. But Paul did not go from this encounter to writing the New Testament in a matter of days or weeks. No, it took years. In fact, if you go on to read this story, you'll learn that Paul stayed in the area of Damascus and Arabia for 3 years. For 3 years, he learns. For 3 years, he prays. For 3 years, he grows in his faith. And then he goes to Jerusalem, and he spends 15 days with Peter and with James, the brother of Jesus, learning from them. And then you'd probably think, okay, then he was ready to write the New Testament. Then he was ready to go on these missionary journeys, but no. No, then he left for another 10 years and went to modern-day Syria as he continued to learn and form in his faith. It was only after that time, a total of what, about 13 years, that then Paul returned and began these missionary journeys and began writing these letters to these churches that had become the New Testament. Yes, Paul's transformation did not happen overnight. And so we should expect our transformations to not happen overnight as well. No, this is a lifelong journey that we are on with God. And so when you have those experiences where God shows up in your life, sometimes unexpectedly and sometimes subtly, pay attention to those. Value those. Learn from those. And consider that a small part of how God is shaping you. Paul is our example for this. From persecutor to preacher, Paul's life changed because God got involved. And we can stand here and say today that our lives change as well when God gets involved in small or dramatic ways, and we learn from that. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. Have a great week.
Let's live that out this week. Amen.